Coming up on Patriots This Week, it was foot to the floor, pedal to the metal from the start.
We definitely went out there, played 60 minutes of football there, which is how we always need to play.
The Patriots ran down, then over the Jaguars.
Good overall team effort. I'm proud of the way they practice, prepared, played today.
It was another milestone day for the quarterback who personifies Patriot excellence.
Touchdown, Amendola, number 400 for Tom Brady.
Even though not everyone was aware.
I didn't realize until halfway back to the sidelines that I gave 400 ball away.
It was fun to be out there. I think everyone enjoyed it.
And despite the historic achievement, it's not the Patriot way to linger over legend.
It's good to see Tom get 400, but and now we gotta move on.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Someone finally found a way to stop the Patriots' offense. The NFL schedule maker gave them a bye in week four. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with former Pats quarterback, my radio partner Scott Zolak, and a three-time Super Bowl champion in Matt Chatham. Guys, 51-17 for the Pats over the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tom Brady at quarterback. 9 for 9. 9 possessions, 9 scores.
I think the clock stopped him. I mean, if we were still playing, we'd probably have 14 possessions, 14 scores. You know, it was nice seeing Ryan Allen before the game, and you could tell he was really relaxed. I'm like, what's wrong with you today? He goes, I'm probably not going to be punting too much today. He didn't say that. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, it's Jacksonville. And, guys, we talked about this last week. Inferior opponent coming in, but give the coach credit for the focus that the team had, because normally in a National Football League, those are kind of one of those hiccup-type games, not familiar with the opponent. You come out flat. Patriots do not come out flat.
I think one of the things that happens with players, too, is you're aware of what's going on. You know that that team has had sort of an injury issue. They've got 4 starters down. You get that pregame sort of message of who the inactive are. Denard Robinson goes down. Luke Jokel at the left tackle. Yeah. So basically, 4 of their starters, Kendrick Marks on the inside. They're like, oh, gosh. We thought there was an issue to keep these guys focused. Then they lose 4. Then the game starts, and 4 guys go down in game. They're playing a strong safety. We hadn't even played the position. I mean, it was a perfect storm. You kind of figure they're going to walk through, but in that moment, you really have to focus.
Turns out to be a milestone day. Of course, Tom Brady throws his 400th touchdown pass. Danny Amendola on the receiving end. Steven Gostkowski sets a record for consistency as a place kicker. Most extra points made in a row. Really, trademarks of this team and those players. Consistency, therefore, no trap to fall into because they are consistently well prepared.
Yeah, and I think you look at the length and the time and how many reps it took to even achieve those milestones, and that comes with success. You need to be on the field, you need to do it at a high level, and you need to do it at a high level and do it well for many years. And I think that's the big thing. We forget, you know, the span, and we keep talking about Brady, and we think Brady's just got here like 5 years ago. Tom Brady's been here for 16 years. We've had 2 kickers in about 20 years. It's amazing that Adam Vinatieri has gone on to another organization, and he's been with the Colts as long as he has been a Patriot.
Yes.
And you just think, boy, age is eventually going to catch up to these guys. Not so the case. I think they take great care of themselves. More importantly, I think they prepare well for games.
Brady, look at him, obviously. A year ago, we're at about the one-year anniversary of all the nonsense with the Kansas City game. Uh-huh. Just plows straight through that. You can really go down the line. Danny Amendola has been doubted quite a bit when he signed the big deal and had another injury and all those kinds of things. Julian Edelman, I mean, he's a guy that most people said they couldn't say that he was a former quarterback without acknowledging what he does as a wide receiver. These are guys who have really had to battle through a lot. It takes the right kind of personality to get the consistency that Zoe's talking about.
Yeah, he's right. They got grinders, and I think they refer to the word grinding all the time. Hey, when we come back after the bye, and we're talking about the bye here, you know, we got to grind when we come back. They have grinders.
Since you mentioned Kansas City, a lot of people wondered about Tom Brady and the off-field distractions or potential for them this offseason, of course, preparing for 2015, and how he would start this campaign. But really, it's been an extension of what started after Kansas City in Week 5 last year. 18 games, 16 wins for the Pats, including that regular season finale loss to Buffalo. For Brady, 48 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and more than 5,000 yards during that span.
Well, the thing that's amazing to me is I didn't worry about Tom. I mean, I saw the fire that was upon him as he went into the Super Bowl and he got MVP. So I figured any offseason distraction is going to pale into that environment. What was amazing to me is that they continue to do this shuffling O-line thing and they're able to still have the consistency. These guys are unusual. There are not other teams around the NFL who are cycling all 5 guys through. And so 3 of those 5 are very young dudes. So I think that's what's amazing. For Tom to be able to be consistent, coming out, you know, Zoe would know this. You come out each snap, you come out in a new huddle. huddle. It's a new huddle of dudes.
Right.
And you're able to still operate effectively. That's pretty amazing.
They never once started a series with the same set of offensive linemen that they had in the prior. I mean, you watch it with personnel groups, and Bob, you and I are up in the booth, and I'm like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. There's four more linemen coming into the game at this time.
My name is Tom. And it's not
in between drives. I know Coach had said, yeah, we kind of do it in between drives, but I'm watching guys run on the field right in the middle of a drive, and you know, it's first and 10 on the 17. They're getting a whole other personnel group in it. I think Dave DeGuglielmo needs some credit here because he's the guy.
You got it.
Yeah, I did. Dave DeGuglielmo.
No, you did.
And I think he, from this time last year, has learned so much as to, you know, he's sitting on all cylinders coming out where maybe, you know, this offensive line group at the beginning of last year was, well, Scar did it this way. Why should we do it Googe's way? And I think it's now all Googe, and that's good for the line.
One of the things I think is really interesting is Coach Belichick was really impressing upon us in the pre-broadcast thing here for the preseason games about the Andrews kid. And one of the things he kept saying that to me just kind of washed over was he's played a lot of football. You see a lot of these guys that come into the NFL because they have a great senior year and they've got great measurables. And sometimes the guy that started all 4 years and was steady throughout, it doesn't always have the high acclaim, but that's the kind of guy that you expect that won't screw up. He's taken a ton of snaps in the SEC, at Georgia, doing it at a high level. So I think that makes you feel a little safer that I can stick him out here and he's not going to be overwhelmed by the moment.
A rookie free agent taking a ton of snaps. Meanwhile, there's a first-round pick from a year ago played in the SEC who didn't have a lot of game experience because of injuries. And in week one, Dominique Easley goes down to a hip pointer, but he was back in the lineup on Sunday. How impressed, how surprised were you as well with his performance penetrating against the Jaguars?
Yeah, that's the thing, though, the way they're going to be able to spot use him. And I think it has a potential to be really devastating. When I say devastating, you put Sheard on the other side, who has the ability to also have that burst. You know, there are different type of players up front. I think they got a big front where they put Branch out there, Salinga, where those guys kind of hit two guys and they lean and they push the pile around a little bit. And then they get more active where they'll put Sheard, Easley, Jones, kick him down inside, and Ninkovic, get those four on the field. Now you got an active front four, an athletic front four. Good luck trying to block him.
What do you make of the secondary? No veterans Bradley Fletcher or Terrell Brown. We saw the rookie free agent from the Vikings, Justin Coleman, out there. Logan Ryan got the start as well for the Patriots. And, of course, we saw Malcolm Butler once again as the focus guy locked up with Allen Robinson most of the day.
I still think Ryan had a couple issues. You saw Malcolm give up the one seam route there. And then Duran, I think, took a poor angle to give up that touchdown. But other than that, I think, you know, they're solid. It's not about making huge plays. It's about doing your assignments, making sure you're okay, you're in the area. And they got to find a way to eliminate that big play over the top, because eventually you're going to find that offense that's going to put the ball downfield, and that's going to be problematic for them.
I still think Fletcher exists on the roster for a reason, and there's going to be times where he's important to have there.
It's a matchup thing.
He's still your biggest, tallest guy. Yeah. I think he's a good red zone corner. I don't think you're going to put him out there in the field against Sammy Watkins, because we've seen what happens. But I think that's what's unique about this group. They've got guys with different skill sets. They'll probably mix and match throughout the year. One of the things that I liked is they came out on the very first snap of the game. We know Allen Robinson has been this shot guy. And Jacksonville, for whatever reason, goes right to that right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And you see him jump the play, which tells you that they're studying their keys. They've done the game preparation.
When we come back on Patriots This Week, we'll ask the guys, who do you take at his word, Superman or Hercules?
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Steven Gostkowski. The 31-year-old set an NFL record against the Jaguars when he kicked his 423rd consecutive extra point. Now in his 10th season, the University of Memphis graduate had a tough task in following three-time Super Bowl winner Adam Vinatieri, but Gostkowski responded by being the most accurate kicker in Patriots history. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios and Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy, Scott Zolak, Matt Chatham. Guys, Carolina's playing against the New Orleans Saints. Panthers on the way to 3-0, and Cam Newton's out of the pocket on a rollout. Gets hit. It's a borderline play along the sideline. No penalty thrown by referee Ed Hockley. Newton lobbies for a call. Afterwards, he says, well, I was told I wasn't old enough to get that call. Hockley in the NFL says, he was simply telling Cam Newton, you were running. That's why he didn't get the call.
I don't think Cam should have taken that to the podium. That's my opinion on that. But I also don't believe that Ed Hockley didn't say it, because guys don't make up stuff. They don't come to the podium and say, yeah, wouldn't it be funny if I said this? I've had experience on the field where they'll say some offhand comments, and, yeah, they're joking sometimes, yeah. But it does make you wonder. I've been in the box where we have a back judge that sits right inside the line of scrimmage for the defense or for punt return teams and says, Chad, I'm watching you this week. I'm just watching you. And I'm thinking to myself, his job is to watch everyone. You don't have individual officials for yourself.
Yeah, you get a lot of shut up and play ball.
They're not just doing it by the book. So it's just this notion of just this hierarchy of integrity, and it's just, you know, they're so wonderful and pure as the driven snow. That's not the truth. So I didn't like that the NFL came out and said whatever Ed said was probably true.
I believe Newton on this, that he told him, because if you watch the video, Newton just absolutely stops and stunned and is like pointing to him like, I can't believe he just said that to me. And maybe it was taken the wrong way, but I'm with him. Don't take it to the podium. Yeah. Take it to the team. File a complaint on Tuesday. And then, you know, that's what goes to, you know, whether you got bad calls, whether there was miscommunication, then let the league handle it.
Meanwhile, with Newton flourishing with his passing running style for Carolina, Colin Kaepernick is floundering for San Francisco. Yeah. Rough afternoon against the Arizona Cardinals. What gives for the 49ers and Kaepernick?
Well, I think he's a guy whose confidence is shaken. I've watched him. I've watched him be successful, and now you see him not just throwing, making poor decisions, throwing a bad ball with a bad decision. That's a terrible combination. And you kind of felt the ball rolling. There was points of last week's game where I almost felt they might have needed to take him out, not to make a quarterback change or any kind of the hot take stuff, but I think it looked like the point where he was coming off after the second one, then the third one, and the fourth one, and things are rolling. So if you're not going to give him some controlled low passing game, you're going to allow him to keep taking shots, you're going to kill the kid.
Even when they were having success, I was on it from day one, the whole Jaworski thing. He's got a chance to be the greatest ever. He can't see the field. He would never look left, then right, then come back and survey things. They would cut the field in half with him. Keep it simple. First read, second read, and if it's not there, go run. And you can only run so many times. And let's give defensive coordinators some credit. Once you get a year of film on this kid, you start breaking things down, they're going to be able to, you know, defend him. And I think that's what's happened with him. I don't think he's that good, period.
Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger, the latest marquee quarterback to go down. There have been some reports that the NFL is considering giving offensive linemen more prep time in the preseason because they're not ready to go when the season starts to protect the most valued assets in the NFL.
Nice idea. What are you going to give us in return?
Yeah, hopefully the commissioner's head. Seriously.
I absolutely agree. I mean, and here's what it is. You can say that we're going to do more of that, but understanding that was the biggest chip the players got in the last CBA. So if you want that back, you're going to have to give something in return. I think they're on to something. I mean, one of the injuries I saw, the Aaron Williams thing in the Buffalo game, when you see the guy go down, the contact was with himself in the ground, by and large. To me, that says, and, you know, he ends up on a stretcher in a pretty serious injury. To me, that usually says his body's not ready, you know, and you have to prepare your body.
Don't get in camp. They don't have 9-on-7
exactly.
anymore. You never hear the crack of the helmets.
You have to
need
do that before game day. You have
I
to
agree.
Do it before game
I'm
day.
With him on this. And all of a sudden, we're going to blame this on offensive line and the lack of coaching. Tom Brady has not gotten touched through about three games. How about you coach your team better? You pay more attention in walkthroughs. Maybe increase the walkthroughs and maybe get some better coaching out there.
Allow them to coach. You got to do more time.
So now Romo's hurt, Roethlisberger's hurt. We're going to blame offensive line.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Exactly.
Get the ball out of your hand.
When we continue on Patriots this week, Buffalo bounces back, and the Jets get bounced, period.
All right, since we're on the bye week, what we're going to do here is not take a look at a Patriots opponent. We're going to take a look at a Tom Brady touchdown pass. Touchdown pass, the record setter, number 400. Stop the tape right here. So this is an easy little set right here. Three wide receivers, one back. Here's Danny Amendola. Now, Danny Amendola, you've got to know what number touchdown this is. Go ahead and roll the tape. Here's Tom Brady, little play fake to the backside. Nice job by Amendola getting there. Boom, he catches it. What does he do? Does he give it to Tom Brady? No! He gives it to the super fan in the front row. You've got to be kidding me. Enzo, look at it right here. Brady even knows it. Watch. Throws the touchdown. Look, I'm going to get the ball. That's number 400. I've done this for so long. This is a big one. Brady's shocked right now. He's like, where's the ball at? Where can it be? One more look at it. There it is. Number 400, 400. Danny Amendola. Got to have your head in the game. You know I'm kidding. I love this kid. Gives the ball to a fan. Luckily, that fan gave it back to security, and the fan called my radio show this week. So there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We are back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues, and the focus on the AFC East. Good bounce back for the Buffalo Bills with the rout of Miami, which spells perhaps the imminent demise of Joe Philbin and his coaching staff. Dolphins, a big disappointment through 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that Miami team, and I've been talking about this for 3 years, and I know things are numbers-wise are trending in the right direction for guys like Tannehill. If you don't have a quarterback or a head coach that when they walk in that room, they don't command the room, the room is going to be dead. The team's going to be dead. I think that's the situation down in Miami. I don't think Philbin's the fit. I think he'll be gone by midseason.
See, I think there was a point where Philbin was, and I think somehow, some way, behind closed doors, we didn't see it broke, because you saw times in last week's game, there was a clip from NFL Films where they talked about hustle off the field, hustle off the field, and you see four guys just walk by him. That's a terrible sign. When you've lost sort of control, when you've lost control, that's kind of all there is.
What about Buffalo and the performance by Tyrod Taylor against those Dolphins?
I think that is an extremely dangerous team. I think they'll never beat the Patriots. So I think I look at that team, and I think they're really a tough matchup for a lot of people, everyone but this particular organization.
So why can't they beat the Pats?
The Pats are more diverse. The strength of the Buffalo Bills are now that they have sort of quality depth that I don't think they used to have. Sometimes it'd be a guy or two or three. The Patriots have just more of that and are better at the quarterback spot. I think also if you look back to that first game, we may actually see a tighter game the second time around, assuming, of course, the Patriots still win it here. But it's just a more disciplined unit. But I think the gap between sort of the ability has been closed considerably.
I think Brady is the difference in everything. The fact you have Brady and, you know, you're not that Tyrod Taylor and Brady play each other, but I think Matt's right to the sense that, you know, when we see them again, they're going to take on more of the identity of Rex. They were so amped up for that first game. Let's give them 8 weeks and see how they look.
Since you mentioned the Jets, they'll be at it early in London against the Dolphins. New York coming off its first loss at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Jets are now banged up. Decker was out. Mm-hmm. Revis continues to be a question mark with his health. What about the Jets going into week four?
I like the London trip. I think it's a cool experience. I don't want to ever see a team in London, but I think it's nice to take the league over there a couple times a year. Who knows with them? Because, you know, another thing with the quarterback, is Ryan Fitzpatrick the answer there? Geno Smith's going to come back. What's going to happen when he's back? You know, Revis is in. He's out. There's rumors of, you know, it's the knee. Now it's the hamstring maybe. So it's a long year. We'll see how they do. I think they're pretty good on defense, though.
The Jets have a big opportunity here to make sure they're in the top half of this AFC East. I mean, if they slide back and sit, if they scuttle against the Dolphins, then we're back to, hey, Buffalo's there nipping at the Patriots' heels, but maybe not. I think it becomes a much more interesting division if Jets take care of business, knock off a Miami team that's reeling.
And this could be Miami's season, this game. You lose this one, you're done.
Yeah, maybe even not the midseason prediction.
Right.
It could happen even earlier.
I'm talking for saving jobs and everybody.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Me as well. All right, we'll continue with more of Patriots This Week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Oakland's offense has been on fire the last 2 weeks, and Derek Carr is why. Start the Raiders quarterback, who can't wait to get to Soldier Field this week, but tell Calvin Johnson to grab some pine. It's never fun to play in Seattle. Even a receiver as skilled as Megatron won't score big against the Legion of Boom. Make sure Charles Clay is in your starting lineup. The production from the Bills' tight end has improved week to week. This Sunday, they take on the New York Giants, who have struggled against opposing tight ends all year. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
And we're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week. And Scott Zolak, biggest surprise for you through 3 weeks of the NFL season?
I'm not going to take an actual team. I'm going to take an actual player. I'm going to go with Deion Lewis. I think the impact of a guy like Deion Lewis, because we know what Gronkowski brings, we know what Edelman brings, we know what Tom Brady's going to do, and I think we started to know what the other guys are going to do, except for number 33. His impact and his big play capability, he's a big shock for me.
I'm going to go league-wide, and I think the thing that surprises me is that NFC South. I think if we talk about a group that, you know, I didn't expect much from the Panthers, didn't think much, obviously, from the Bucs. They've been shaky. The Saints, we thought would bounce back, but they haven't been great. Atlanta Falcons have actually been the class of that group, and Carolina continues to win week after week. You might have two surprise plucky teams down there where the South isn't quite as banged up as we think. Either one of those two teams can win the division, and you might be looking at your wild card in the NFC from the group as well.
You guys catch a break this week. No predictions. predictions with the bye for the Pats, but we'll be back to talk about Dallas next week. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks for tuning in to Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.